I've enjoyed every bit of the song service that we've had together, the orchestra and all the special music that we've had together, choir, your ministry. Thank you. It's been a great joy to worship our Lord together with you today. And I want to say again what I said in the Sunday school hour, that it is an incredible joy and delight to be back at a place that Lynn and I consider to be almost like home. It is an incredible place, this place called Temple Baptist of Herndon. Many of you have been friends with us, and we've been your friends for years. Some of us have never met, and we hope to meet you this week as we have the joy of being together here for about 3 or 4 days. Hope that you'll plan to be back with us, if you would, please. For sake of time, would you go to the book of Philippians with me this morning and get chapter 1 opened up in front of you, Philippians chapter 1. And because of the time constraints, I feel like starting off by saying, and in closing, I think I might be better served by just starting there, you know, and you would be as well. But, in fact, that's your favorite part of a sermon, isn't it, when a pastor says in closing. But we're gonna get through something here as quickly as I can. And help us to see something. And I will just literally skim the surface of what we have here in this first chapter in the book of Philippians. The last year and a half, I've been battling a sickness that came upon me, and I spent a great deal of time with the Lord in searching scriptures and just enjoying the sweet time of being with the Lord in extra time and singing songs like no one ever cared for me like Jesus and others, and lifting my hands in praise and in worship. And early on, the Lord led me to the book of Philippians. Early on, this particular book just jumped off the page. And I've read it and studied it, and many of you have as well, and you've probably studied it privately. Maybe you've done it as a church body. Maybe as a Sunday school class, you've gone through this incredible book. I am not the Apostle Paul, who was the human author of this letter. I am not. You're not the church at Philippi. But to some small little degree, I would like to draw reference to the fact that Paul was in a place he didn't really want to be, but he accepted it. He was in a prison. He was in the first of his 2 Roman imprisonments. It was 62 AD. And he wasn't sure, honestly, if he would ever be delivered from that particular imprisonment, although he hints later on that he feels that he's going to be delivered. But the truth, it was known, he would go back into that Roman prison a few years later, about 3 years later, and in that final imprisonment, that would be the end of the trail. So Paul is near the end of his life, and he doesn't really know how much time he has left to live. And the church in Philippi sent word to him and said, "We love you," and they sent a gift to him. I repeat, I'm not Paul, and you're not the church at Philippi, but you, dear friends, have so many have said to me this morning that you've been praying and have continued to pray, and we're deeply grateful for it. But I just want you to see some things that are given to us here in this first chapter, and then tighten the focus on one particular verse. If you'll just notice, if you would, please, in verse 3, he says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always, in every prayer of mine for you all." That shows you that he's a southerner, "for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet," or fitting and proper, "for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds," he's talking about his imprisonment, "and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record how greatly I long after you all in the bowels," or the affections, "of Jesus Christ." Would you notice, please, verse 12? I love this verse. He says, "But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places." Verse 20. according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I suppose all of us knows those times in our life in which we have declared that we really needed something. You know what I'm saying? You see something in on a commercial, you see something in a store, and you go, oh, I need that, you know. I mean, most of you ever in the morning, some of you will get up and say, oh, I need my coffee, you know. I just need it, whether you do or you don't. You say, I need it. Some of us understand, I need my Diet Dr. Pepper. I just need it, you know. The truth is, we all know that feeling of saying, I need something. I need a donut. I shouldn't be talking about food right now, but you get the point. Ladies, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You go through any store, at any time, at any place, and it's, ooh, I need that purse. I need those shoes to go with that purse. I need that skirt and then that dress, and then I need all the accessories, and I need a new house, and I need... And for every man who just poked his wife in the side, you know the same thing. He said, oh, I need a new car. Mine is dirty, and so I need a new one. You know what I'm saying? We've all been there. We've all had those times where I just need something. Can I tell you what Paul is, in a roundabout way, maybe in a more direct way than what I can say to you this morning, Paul is saying here, folks, you friends there in Philippi, you're concerned about me being in this prison. I thank God for you. I love you, and I'm so grateful for you. But I'm going to tell you something. I've discovered something. Here's all I need. Christ. For me to live, well, that'll be Christ. And if I die, son, that'll be gain. He's all I need. I've discovered that honestly my whole life is wrapped up, Paul is saying, that no matter what comes at me, whatever curveball may come my way, whatever tragedy, whatever disappointment, whatever sorrow, whatever interruption, whatever individual comes into my life that I wasn't expecting, I've discovered and I've found that the only thing I need is this. For me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. Can I tell you, this entire book, this entire letter to the church at Philippi is wrapped up with one word, and that's the word, well, actually two words, but they mean the same. Joy or rejoicing. And Paul is saying, I'm going to tell you, I have discovered the real meaning of joy. I've discovered the real meaning of laughter. I've really discovered what real rejoicing is wrapped up in, and that's to wrap my life up in totality of Jesus Christ. You know, friends, it only takes one phone call and your life can be completely altered. Did you know that? It takes one car accident and your world comes to a halt. It takes one disappointment in your family. It takes one doctor's report. It takes one family member going to divorce court. It takes one conflict at work. And all of a sudden, your world has come to a crushing halt. And it's at those moments you really decide what's really most important in your life. To some people, they don't want to continue. You know this, and it's a tragedy, but some people end their life when things don't go the way they want them to go. They just think, well, I can't believe this. I can't understand why this has happened to me. And some people say, I don't even want to live. That's a tragedy. Other people become angry. They get bitter at the world. They get bitter at God. They get angry with people. I mean, and they're intolerant of other people because they don't like the way things have been going. Other people become a recluse. They become a hermit. They don't want to look at anybody. They stare off in the distance and they wonder, why me? I don't understand this. Here's Paul in a prison again for preaching the gospel. And he says there in verse 12, folks, I'm telling you, these things which have happened unto me have happened for the purpose of the furtherance of the gospel. You couldn't slow this guy down. I mean, if they said, hey, we're going to beat you, he said, good, bring it. That means I get to participate in the sufferings of Christ. That's good. They said, we're going to kill you. Hey, good. To die is gain. We're going to throw you into prison. Okay, good. Put me with some good prison guards that I can give the gospel to. I mean, he just couldn't slow this guy down. No matter where he went, he realized there's more reason for my living on this earth, and my life is wrapped up in Jesus Christ. For me to live, it's Christ. I want to just lay some things on your heart as fast as I can that Paul gives us here that'll really truly give joy to your life. And I mean this. This is not preacher talk. This is not just a kind of little simple little thing that you can add to your life and kind of gleefully get through life. No, friends, Paul is saying, I have discovered this is all I need because he's all I have and he's all I want. Can I show you, first of all, he makes a personal decision. Look at verse 21 again. A personal decision. What does he say? He says, for to me. Paul is saying, this has not been forced on me. Paul is saying, I am accepting Jesus Christ, and I'm not doing this because it's going to put me in good favor with people in my family. It's going to put me in a good standing with the Jewish people. I'm accepting Christ not because of some social standing. I'm not going to accept Christ and follow him because, you know, it'll help me with some business transactions. Paul is saying this, I don't care what anybody else does. I don't know what other people are going to choose to do. Regardless of what others do in my family, regardless of what people do at my school, regardless of what people do and say about me at work, regardless of what people say about me who know me, who just come in contact with me as an acquaintance, regardless of what anybody else says, I'm going to tell you something. For me to live is Christ. And he says, it's a personal decision. For to me, I'm going to accept Christ and I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. I'm going to obey him. I'm going to do whatever he tells me to do. And I don't know how it's going to affect other people. I just know that what's happened to me is for the furtherance of the gospel. And he says this, he goes, I've made a personal decision. Let me just cut to the chase. Has there been a time in your personal life when you have made a personal decision to accept Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? I didn't ask you, did you come to a church and get religion? I'm not asking you, has there been a time in your life when you came into a realm of a bunch of believers in Jesus Christ and you just said, you know something, I'm going to add that into my life as well, and I'm just going to come and I'm going to sit in church because it makes me feel good, and you know, my mom and dad went to church, and so I'm going to continue to go to church, and you know something, it'll help my kids to be growing up in a good family that goes to church. No. I'm not asking you any of that. I'm asking you this. Has there been a time in your life when you recognized, I am outside of Jesus Christ, and I am making a personal decision to be in Christ and for Christ to be with me? Has that ever happened? You say, Morris, I don't remember the date. I'm not asking for the date. I'm asking you, has there been a time when you personally made that decision? Not to bring peace into your marriage so that your wife would get off your back. And so you say, okay, I'll go to church. I'll pray the prayer. I'll go through the routine. No, it's not just so that you can look good. Has there been a personal time when you, like Paul would say, for to me, this is my personal decision. I'm accepting Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, I don't really know what you're talking about. Well, friends, if you don't, if you have maybe a little glimpse of what I'm talking about, can I tell you, we are thrilled that you're here this morning. You may have been here multiple times. This may be your first time. I don't know. But if you have never made a genuine personal decision to ask Jesus Christ to become your personal Savior, we'd love to talk to you about him today. He's the greatest friend you could ever have. And I mean it. There's no more important decision. And if you want your life to be a life that has purpose, and can I say it like this? A life that has peace, regardless of all the things that come at you, you've got to make a personal decision to receive Jesus Christ. And to those of you who have accepted Christ, you need to make that personal decision of saying, not only do I want to be positionally in Christ, I want to be progressively following Christ. You know, when Jesus said to his disciples, follow me, it was not, hey, have you got an afternoon free? Hey, can you come spend time with me on the Sabbath? Come just be with me one day a week. No, he was saying, I want your life. Follow me. The Bible says that Matthew got up from the receipt of custom, that seat of high authority as a tax collector. He was leaving his business behind. I'm not telling you to leave your business, but what Matthew was saying was, I am willing to make a radical change in my life to follow this Jesus. I am committed to him. It is a personal decision. You see, first of all, a personal decision. Number two, you see a pointed direction. Look at our verse again, verse 21. He said, for to me to live, here it is Christ. Now, our English translators, for which we're very grateful, added that verb is in there. For me to live is Christ. Actually, in the original manuscripts, that word is not there. Here's what Paul was saying. He was saying something with great emphasis. He says, for me to live, Christ. I mean, like a point, like a laser beam. He was saying, he is the one that I'm following. He is the one that I'm centering my whole life upon. He is the secret of my life being everything it ought to be. He is the central focus of my life. Why is it God's people go in and out of a sweet, intimate walk with the Lord? Why is that? Because I think in some degree, we get distracted with other things that are vying for our heart's attention. Paul was saying this, let me tell you something. For me, living is simply wrapped up in Jesus Christ. He's everything I want to live for. For some people, they would have to say this, for me to live is money, and to die is to leave it all behind. For me to live is possessions, the things that that money could buy, and to die is to leave it to the family to sell. For me to live is fame, and to die is to be forgotten. For me to live is power and authority over people, and to die is to no longer have any authority over anybody, and nobody's looking to me. For me to live is sports, and to die is no longer care who wins or loses. For me to live is, now hang on, my family, and to die is to leave them behind. You say, no, preacher, wait a minute. What's wrong with having some nice things and watching a ball game and loving my family? Are you ready? Nothing. Nothing's wrong with any of those things. There's nothing wrong with having those things. The problem is when those things have you and they dominate your whole life, and you could say, for me to live is this. It is the central portion of my life. And Lord, I want you in my life. I want you close by. Jesus, please, you come by. I want you to bless my family. I want you to bless my business. I want you to bless all the things that I enjoy doing. I want to be close to you, but you're not the central focus of my life. Now, you'd never say that, but many times we live that way. Why is it that Jesus put an emphasis upon it when he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you? He says, for me to live is Christ. You say, well, I think I get it. Well, it means this. It means that you arrange your schedule to make sure you spend time with him. It means that you drop all other thoughts so that you can focus on what it is he is saying to you. On NFL sidelines today, there will be quarterbacks who will lead their team down a field and score, maybe, or have a good play, and as soon as they finish, they come over to the sideline, take the helmet off, put a ball cap on, and somebody hands them an iPad, and they sit there at that iPad, and they'll sit on the sideline, and they're looking at pictures. What of? The game that he's in. He's looking at the defense. He's checking things out. Well, he has studied that defense all week long prior to today, but what's he doing? He's thinking, maybe I missed something. Maybe there's something else I need. Okay, now that linebacker was faking me out there. He showed me he was going to rush and he didn't run. Okay, now I get a better picture. What's he doing? He's seeking more information. Let me ask you something. Do you go to God and say, Lord, there's so much more for me to learn. I just want to spend time with you. God, I just want to hear your voice. David said this in Psalm 63. Oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. Moses said in Exodus 33, He said, Lord, we're not going without you into this wilderness journey. I'm not going with you toward the promised land, but I'm going with you. And if you don't go, I'm not going, because I've got to have you with us. I must know you. And in right here in the book of Philippians, Paul says in chapter 3 and in verse 10, he gives us another verse that says what he's saying here in the verse we're looking at. He says this, that I may know him. He didn't say, I want to know about him. He didn't want a preposition between him and the Lord. He says, I just want to know him. I don't want to just know facts about him. I want to know him intimately. How close are you to your God this morning? You say, preacher, I don't know. Let me ask it like this. Would you say the testimony of your life is this, for me to live? It's Christ. And I'm pursuing him. I just want to know him. When I was in college, many a Saturday I would work at a job in town. I had a job at a grocery store. That was a high-level job, wasn't it? I worked at a grocery store. Now, if you're a manager of a grocery store, it's a great job. It really is. But, I mean, I was stocking shelves and working at a grocery store. I'd work 10 long, hot hours. I mean, just hot work just to make some extra money that I needed to help me with school and help me with bills and so forth. I'd come back home, it'd be nighttime, Saturday evening, and you'd think I'd just collapse into bed, you know, maybe take a shower and jump into bed and just collapse. I did take a shower. I'd clean up, but then I'd change clothes, grab some books, and go to the library. Oh, you say, you were studious. No, not really. Oh, you really were trying to work on a project? No, yeah, sort of. No, but not what you're thinking. You say, well, why did you go? One reason. Lynn was in that library. That's why I was there. I'd be sitting in the chair in one table, and she'd be sitting across the way at another desk and chair. She was studying, and I was studying her. I could have said my focus was on getting that girl to like me and stay with me, and we have been for these years. You know what I'm talking about when I say, is your life focused on the Lord? You know exactly what I'm talking about. Where your life is arranged in such a way that honestly, you when we talk about walking with God, it's not, okay, I need to spend 15 minutes with the Lord in prayer. Okay, I need to spend some time in the Scriptures. No, walking with God is I'm with him all day long, and Lord, I'm talking with you about the events of my life, and Lord, what do you think? What should I do about this situation? And I mean, honestly, it is a part of your life. Have you ever called one child by another child's name? You ever been guilty of that? Because you ever call them by the dog's name? That's when you're in trouble. I mean, you get it. Have you ever talked to the Lord so much that in talking to somebody else, you accidentally say, well, Lord, I'm sorry, Larry, I was thinking, you say, that's a stretch. Maybe. But is our walk with God in such an intimate, genuine, consistent way that you could say, I've got one point of direction of life. It's all wrapped up in Christ. For me, it's a personal decision. A point of direction, Christ. And here's what I've been trying to get to. There's a premium delight. He says, for me to live. Now look, folks, Paul is not saying for me to live. Take in a breath and blow out a breath. Take in a breath and take out a breath. I lived another day. I lived another week. No, he's not talking just so much about physical life. He's talking about living in the midst of his daily life. He says here, I have found the real reason for living. For me to really live life is Christ. It's my premium. He is my premium delight. Friends, you know this. Life is a journey. But I'm going to tell you something else about life. Life is brief. It just seemed like a few days ago, your pastor and I were teenagers. I still feel like I am at heart. When I go to a camp and I preach, and some teenager says, can I get a picture with you? Yeah, sure. And we stand there and we get a picture taken together. I say, hey, let me look at that. And I look at that and I go, who is that old man standing by that teenager? Life is brief. Life is a journey. Now listen to me. And life is to be lived to the fullest. Jesus said, I have come in John chapter 10 that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. The psalmist said in Psalm 16 and 11, at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Now, he's not just talking about pleasures in heaven. I'm going to have pleasures with you forever and ever and ever. He's talking about both in heaven and on this earth. At your right hand, there are pleasures evermore. I have learned how to really live life to the fullest. And here's my favorite. When Jesus was asking his disciples, whom do men say that I am? And they said, well, some say that you're John the Baptist, and some say that you're Elijah. And he says, okay, let me ask you something, guys. Who do you say that I am? And Peter, you can almost see Peter look around incredulously say, you're the Christ. You are the Christ. And when Jesus said, are you also going to leave me like some of these other people have left me? Peter said, are you kidding me? Now, you got to look hard for that, but I think that's what he said. He said, to whom should we go? You have the words of life. Can I say to you, the real reason for living is wrapped up in knowing Jesus Christ and knowing him intimately. And yet, some of us in this room maybe have gotten distracted recently. Your business has gotten your attention, your family, your schedule, your pressure, daily pressures. Distractions have caused you to drift. Maybe it's not distractions, maybe it's discouragements. I mean, just some real discouragements have come along and you've just kind of wandered away from the Lord. Oh, you're here this morning and so forth, but maybe there's just been some real discouragements in your life, or maybe there's just old-fashioned disobedience and you've just gotten away from the Lord. Here's the fact, dear friends. Paul is saying, yeah, sure, I'm in a prison, but I'm not wishing there were a bunch of people out front picketing saying, let Paul out, let Paul out. He said, hey. This is happening for the furtherance of the gospel. I'm just winning some of these soldiers to the Lord. I'm just taking the chance. And, you know, I think through your prayers, he goes on to say, I will be delivered. I'm going to get out of this prison eventually. And I'm going to be able to get back with doing what I want to do as far as outside these prison doors. But he goes, but for me to live is Christ. And to die, oh, man, that'll be gain. No more cancer. No more doctors. No more discouragements, no more pressures, no more time constraints, no more wondering what people are thinking and what people are saying, no more money stress and no more physical stress and no more political stress and no more, to die will be gain. Paul says, I have found the real way to live life is just to not walk around with a bunch of baggage in my life, dragging it along, worrying about the future, wondering how am I going to make it, fearful about the next thing, and battling loneliness and battling guilt. He goes, for me to live, I have found the real way to live is wrapped up in Christ. Amen. Forgive me for being a bit more personal with you this morning, but I will tell you that honestly, in this last year and a half, and many a time in a service, during a song service, I picture myself once again back up in what I called my upper room. It was the upstairs place where I spent so much of my time. I didn't have schedules to keep except when's the next doctor's appointment. I didn't have to look at the clock. I rested when I could and ate when I needed to and spent a lot of time with my Lord. Read all the books I've been wanting to read. And there were times in which I'd go out and when I could walk, I'd walk around the neighborhood and as I'd spend time with the Lord, honestly, I hope you don't think I'm crazy, I'd just lift my hands up and say, I love you. I thank you for all that you're teaching me. And I'll be honest, I miss some of those quiet days of long seasons of not having anything else to do but just time with the Lord. Lynn would come up and down the stairs and she'd say, are you okay? Are everything all right? You need anything? One day she caught me just a weeping. She goes, are you okay? I said, oh, I'm fine. Just worshiping my Lord. And I will say to you, but though I think I knew it beforehand, I was reminded that only Jesus provides peace in the darkness. Only Jesus provides presence in the midst of loneliness. Only Jesus brings direction in the fog of the dark valley. And when you find out that he's all that you got, he's really all you need. Are you close to him this morning? Or do you need to talk to him about, Lord, I've kind of gotten distracted and I don't want to drift from you. Lord, I just want to have my intimate walk with you like never before. Well, why don't we all come back to what Paul said? For me to live, Christ, to die is gain. Father, I pray that you'll help us to be honest with ourselves and with you. And help us to understand what it is that you're saying to each one of us privately and personally this morning. Thank you for these dear friends, and thank you for the chance that we had just to look at the scriptures and to hear what Paul had to say at a time when in his own personal life, he said, I don't care where I am. I don't care what pain I'm in. I don't care what the future holds. All I know is that I have Jesus Christ. Lord, help us today to be truthful with ourselves and with you. Is there anyone in this building this morning that would say, Mr. Preacher, I'm not real certain that if I took my last breath today that I'd be with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. I really don't know that. I've got some religion in my life, but I don't know if I have Jesus Christ in my life. And I need to make that personal decision you talked about. You'd say, Morris, would you pray for me about that? I'd be glad to, friend. Now, friends, I ask you to trust me on this. I won't point you out and I won't embarrass you. But who here this morning would say, Morris, I don't know if I'm on my way to heaven, if I took my last breath. Would you pray with me and for me about that matter? I know I need Jesus Christ in my life. Pray for me. Would you just lift your hand? Anyone like that? You say, I've never been here before. I feel nervous about lifting my hands. Don't be. I won't embarrass you. Anyone at all? I'm looking from side to side. Anyone? How many of God's people today would say, Morris, I heard something I needed to hear today. I've just been busy. I've been so involved with so many things, and I love the Lord. The Lord knows I do, but I needed this reminder today, and I need this focus. I need this focus that Paul spoke of. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And you'd say, Morris, I don't know about anybody in my family. I don't know about anybody sitting in my section, but I needed this reminder today. And God challenged me. God spoke to me, and I needed this today as a child of God. God spoke to me. Would you lift up your hand right now all over the room? I just needed the reminder. Needed it. Wonderful, wonderful. Would you stand with me? Stand, and you can look this way. I don't have to tell you what we're about to do. I think we need to have a time of just talking to our Lord and responding to him. He talks to us. We need to respond to him. We don't need to ignore him. We need to say, Lord, I heard from you today. I don't know what's best for you. I'm not an arm-twisting kind of an evangelist that's going to make you do things my way. But regardless of where you sit in the middle of a pew and you got two or three people on either side of you, they'll move for you. If you need to come and spend some time with the Lord, do it this morning and say, Lord, I don't want to have any other focus other than you as the supreme focus, the central focus of my life. And Lord, you've dealt with me and spoken to me. You say, Morris, I just need to sit down and start praying. Then do so. Just sit down. Sit on the front row or sit down where you've been. Get on your knees here. Whatever you need to do, you take time with your Lord and say, Lord, you've spoken to me today. If we can help you, we'd be glad to. Let pastor know. But other than that, we'll leave you alone. Young people, adults, visitors, guests and members, attenders, whoever you may be, you take time with your Lord as you need to this morning. The music, the song is going to be, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. You take time with the Lord this morning, would you? Father, finish this service as only you can. May your dear people be responsive. May they hear from you and respond to you with all sincerity. And Lord, help us to be honest about anything that has distracted or discouraged us and kept us from having that sweet and intimate daily walk with you. We ask it in your glorious name.